clicker it down there. But it's so funny how our minds work. What is the name of the movie? Oh, Polar Express. How many are familiar with the Polar Express? I remember when that first came out, it seemed like Clark was relatively small. And it seemed like he saved box tops. Do you remember this at all? I hate remembering things, and then Carrie's like, that's just not how it happened. And but let me tell you the story as my mind remembers it. And that way I won't lie to you. He saved these things and sent away for the Polar Express. And it was this train that was very intricate, and it just was great. And he got that thing in the mail, and it came in an envelope about that big. And pulls the thing out in this little bitty Polar Express, and he was kind of depressed with it. But I guess that's what you get for four or five box tops or whatever it was. But the idea of that movie was there were three kids that were kind of main characters, and one of them was really struggling to believe. And I think at this time of year, we hear a lot of talk about believing and faith and things like that. And so I want us to think about this. What is it that we believe, and what difference does it make, especially as we think about Christmas and the truth and story about Christmas? It's interesting to me, already I've come in, and not that it's wrong or whatever, but I've already talked to several people about the scores of the games that happened on Saturday. And you know, I was kind of rooting against the Titans, and we're kind of talking back and forth, and I think, what in the world difference does that make? What? Now, it does make difference in the sense of, is your team, and are you going to make the playoffs and stuff like that? But I'm thinking, in the big picture, what in the world difference does it make? But I think sometimes we talk about Christmas and Christ as if it's this incredible truth, and but then it doesn't seem to, you know, this thing that seems to have little value, we seem to really value it. And then this thing that we talk about that has this great value, Jesus, so often in our personal lives really seems to have a lot lesser value than we would kind of think. So I do want us to think this morning of what is it that we believe and what difference does it make. And I do want to talk about recapturing the wonder of Christmas and about what it means. And again, we're not talking about feelings associated with Christmas. I'm never going to have another BB gun Christmas. I don't know, I might, with a nice enough gun, but I don't think I'm going to get that. But anyway, but I think sometimes with us, you know, those warm Christmases are going to go away. I think the one difference for me is going to be my first grandbaby Christmas. I mean, some of you had like grandbaby Christmases. Now, Cammy, I'm not interested anytime soon in grandbaby Christmas. But I think that will be like a neat Christmas, you know, when you got the grandkids and, you know, it's no longer you're just, you know, the kids are like taking their list out and saying, okay, got that. Yeah, okay, got that. You know, it's a different thing, you know. But when we really think about all that Christmas is, and so I'm looking at the passage from John chapter 1. And I never really thought about this in Christmas very much, but as I've read, one of my favorite authors is John Lennox, and he talks about it, and he connects it with Christmas a lot, and so he connects it with Jesus coming to earth. And so anyway, I want to share some things with you, but I think this is going to be a good message. If the worship service was any part of how the message is going to be, I think it's going to be good, because I really enjoyed that. Okay, you ready? Hold on. Buckle up. Lissa, you with me? Okay. One of the most basic big questions we ask, maybe not us, because I think in the church sometimes it's just not that big a deal, but when you think about humanity in general, when we take enough time to just think about life, one of the most basic big questions we ask is, what is the nature of ultimate reality? The central tenet of the biblical worldview is that the ultimate reality is God. At the very beginning of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God, the ultimate reality. Now, in our world, there are basic two big ultimate realities. One is that there is God, or that the universe is the ultimate reality, and it has created everything that is. But the Bible's worldview says that God is the ultimate reality. In the beginning, God. And so Lennox says the assertion that God created the physical universe is of paramount importance, and we're going to see this as we go, because it answers the question, why is there something rather than nothing? Why is there something rather than nothing? And it also implies that this universe cannot explain itself. Okay. So now we go to John chapter 1. This is what we're going to look at. So Genesis 1 says, in the beginning God. In John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And I just want to talk about the Word a little bit, in just the sense of that John using this Word, and the Jewish people were very familiar. They'd go to the synagogue and they would read and hear God's Word. Now, it says this in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh. So Jesus embodied the Word. Now, one of the things that I will say is, even as I was preparing for this message, and lately in my life, I'm embarrassed by how much I'm learning. I'm embarrassed by how much I'm learning about the Bible and truth and life. I'm embarrassed. It's like, I feel like I should have known this by now. So if you're kind of thinking, man, I just got it all and get it all, I think, I don't think you do. Because now I don't want to sit down and match wits with you. Not that I would win or do very well, but I'm just saying there's just so much more to get. So the Bible says, though, that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So if we go back here, in the beginning was the Word. Now we know the Word became flesh, so it's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. So in our church, we talk about God is Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They have always been. They eternally coexist. We don't believe that Jesus was created, but that He was eternally existent with God, which is a big deal when you think about it. Okay? Now, this isn't even the good stuff yet, but it is good and significant and big when you think about it. And again, how casually sometimes we can treat this truth. Now, this is one of the pieces that I think is just so fantastic. Thinking about Jesus, the baby in the manger. We had a cute children's program here last week, and we know the stories about the shepherds and the angel coming to Mary and the angel coming to Zechariah and saying, hey, you're going to have a baby and you're going to have John the Baptist and all this is going to happen. And we know the story, and it's neat, and it makes us feel good. But this is what John says, speaking about Jesus, this Jesus. He says this, through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. Okay, when you think about Jesus, now if you're a believer, this person that you believe in, through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. Now, again, I don't know, every now and then this just kind of comes out in messages, and so this has just happened to be one of them. But this is a quote, it's in one of Lennox's books, but again, thinking about the world that we see, why is there something rather than nothing? Russell E. Triton writes, our universe, speaking about this incredible universe that we live in, our universe is simply one of those things which happen from time to time. It's like finding a $20 bill on the ground. How many people have ever found a $20 bill on the ground? Oh, wow, look at you. Bucks, dollars, much more common. Change. Anybody find change? Okay, all right. Pay attention, okay? So Russell E. Triton writes, our universe is simply one of those things which happen from time to time. Just a wonderful serendipity. He says, however, that kind of answer, the kind of answer that says that the universe just sprang into existence, sounds about as scientific as answering the question why apples fall to the ground by saying that they just do. So again, we read John's statement, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that nothing has been made that has been made except through Him. So we have this incredible truth, and we have people saying, other people, and people have their own thoughts and ideas. I'm just sharing you the Bible's thought. Not that there is just this serendipity. Sometimes things, just neat things happen, like our universe. But the Bible says that the universe came to be because Jesus made it come to be. And without Him, it wouldn't have come to be. In addition, Lennox writes, it would be distinctly odd, as Keith Ward points out, to think that there is a reason for everything. And we live in a scientific world. There is a reason for everything. You know, people look at the church and say, oh, you believe this, you believe that, and you know, and how things have changed. People used to believe that the God of thunder made thunder and all these kind of things. And so we live in a scientific world. We realize there's a reason for everything. But listen to this. Keith Ward points out, to think that there's a reason for everything except for the most important item of all, and that is the existence of everything. The universe itself, the insatiable human desire for explanation, will not let the question rest. So we believe there's an explanation for everything, but when it comes to the why this incredible universe, sometimes life just happens that way. And so there's really two huge differing ideas here. And if you're a Christian, or if you have the worldview that there is a God behind it all, it's exactly the opposite. It's not that it just happened, but God is behind it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and it didn't come to be without the Word. Okay, so through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. Okay, that's what John is saying about Jesus. And again, this idea of who is it that we worship? What is it we celebrate? Is it just the idea of a Christmas and a star and shepherds and all this kind of thing? No, it's something way bigger than that. I mean, we celebrate the Word made flesh. That's a huge, big, hard deal to comprehend. But the Bible says that there's an ultimate reality, and this is what it is. You know, we tend to think that the ultimate reality is our jobs and our salary and our money and our homes and our kids and our activities. Man, things change. You know, and we can kind of make them an ultimate reality, but in the end we find out that they're not. I was telling somebody, and I've heard this said about middle age, which I guess I'm middle age. But somebody told me that a midlife crisis is when you climb to the top of your ladder and you realize your ladder is against the wrong wall. And I think, what if we live our whole life climbing this ladder, which we have at the top of it, ultimate reality, and we find out that ultimate reality isn't the right ultimate reality. It's something less. In the Christian idea of things, God is the ultimate reality. He's primary. Everything else is derivative. It comes from Him. So if we say, no, it's the universe that's the ultimate reality, then we're missing it. And the question for the service today is, how might I be missing it personally? Oh, okay, there's a couple quotes coming up. I'm starting to tingle. Anthony, are you starting to tingle? Okay. I've shared this before, and forgive me, I should have been an astronomer, because I didn't really like geology anyway. But anyways, let me read to you this idea that this one guy said is just one of those things that happen. Let me read to you about how finely tuned our universe is and how we believe, at least I believe, that God made this incredible universe. Without Jesus, without the Word, it didn't come to be. But through Him, it did come to be. This baby that we celebrate in a manger at Christmas. But this is what He says. The ratio of the electromagnetic force constant, you don't have to understand what this means, because I don't. The ratio of the electromagnetic force constant to the gravitational force constant must be delicately balanced. And He's talking in order for our universe to be like our universe is. This has to be true. There has to be this. The electromagnetic force constant to the gravitation must be delicately balanced. Increase it by only one part in 10 to the 40th. By the way, that's a little tweak. Very little tweak. Increase it by only one part in 10 to the 40th, and only small stars can exist. Decrease it by the same amount, and there will be only large stars. You must have both large and small stars in the universe. The large ones produce elements in their thermonuclear furnaces, and it is only the small ones that burn long enough to sustain a planet with life. Okay, kind of hold that in your thoughts for a minute. Okay? 1 in 10 to the 40th. I don't know if I'm doing it right. If it goes up, we only have small stars. If it goes down, we only have big stars. That's not our universe. We have big and small. 1 in 10 to the 40th. So let me give you a picture of that. If you take the United States and if you build a column from here to the moon, 236,000 miles, and if you fill the United States with coins and then reach those coins up to the moon, and if you did that 1 billion times, and marked one coin with a red X and threw it in there, and it had one of your friends mill around in these 1 billion continent columns, the idea that they would bend down one day, one moment, and pick up that red thing is 1 in 10 to the 40th. How do you explain that? I explain it like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is this incredible, He's God. But man's always talking about man becoming God, but we don't think very often about God becoming man. Somebody says, why did God create man in God's image? Because He knew one day He would be becoming one. So there's this incredible, hopefully for you, this idea of wonder. So don't talk necessarily about these spiritual truths and then miss this, the huge implications of them. I mean, because these are big. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. I think I skipped ahead here. Okay, I might have to come back to that. Okay, so here's where we are. So keep that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's what they say. Okay? It's not in church. So think about all of that. Now the Word, John says the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. So Jesus, the Word that became flesh, is walking with His disciples. And the people are trying to kill Him. And He's away, and He gets word that His close friend Lazarus is sick. And He ends up waiting for a time, and then He decides to go, and He tells His disciple, we're going to go be with Lazarus. He said, we can't go. They're going to kill us. They're going to kill you. They're waiting to kill you. And so in this conversation, where He's having this conversation, where His disciples don't want to go, they ultimately say, okay, well, let's go and die with Him. Jesus says this. And by the way, the good part is coming up in my mind. Okay, just in case you're wondering, did I miss it? You did not. This might be quite a letdown for some people. But anyway, so in this conversation, listen to this. So His disciples are walking and talking with Jesus. Jesus says, hey, we're going to go see Lazarus. And they're worried about dying. And Jesus answers this. Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they will see by the world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. And we live life long enough to know that the world spins and thing and the sun shines on us. We got light. When it doesn't, we got dark. So Jesus is explaining how this works. Now, this is it. This is a quote. This is not me. One of these times, I'm going to take a great quote and slap my name on it and see if anybody challenges me. But anyways, this is not mine. The conversation between Jesus and his disciples took place in an obscure country tucked away in the corner of the vast Roman Empire. Okay, I read this a little bit. You mind if I start again? The conversation between Jesus and his disciples that took place in an obscure country tucked away in a corner of the vast Roman Empire 20 centuries ago, now takes on an awe-inspiring dimension. The man who addressed the groups of disciples that day, think about this, speaking about Jesus, the man who addressed the group of disciples that day was none other than the Creator, the world through whom all things came to exist. He himself was the architect and creator of the solar system about which he was speaking. Isn't that fascinating? He's giving a little, hey, when it's light, you can see. When it's dark, you can't. The man who addressed a group of disciples that day was none other than the Creator, the Word, through whom which all things came to exist. He himself was the architect and creator of the solar system about which he was speaking. I find that fascinating to me. And again, how does that impact who we are? Well, I have a relationship with just Jesus. That's funny, I never hear you talk about it. I don't know that I even see it kind of in your life at all. Well, it's not that big, but did you hear about the Titans? My goodness! I'll tell you what, you know what's surprising? Is the Ravens. I am amazed at that one. Anyway, the quote continues. This is my favorite part of this great quote. Again, thinking about the Word, without which nothing came to be that came to be. The Word that became flesh. It was, and he's talking to these obscure men in this obscure country in this little piece of the Roman Empire. And again, you think, could this great, incredible God have something to say to us in this little bitty town, in this little bitty church, in this corner of southeastern Pennsylvania? You know, I think maybe he does. It certainly is not out of, it's not something different than what he's done in the past. Okay, here we go. It was his divine mind, speaking of the Word, speaking of Jesus, it was his divine mind that had conceived of the idea of a vast nuclear furnace rolling through trackless space, warping space-time around it, and thus holding Earth captive in its orbit and bathed in its light and heat. It was his idea to put the source of light outside the world on which he would later place his supreme creation, men and women made in his image. And the idea that he would come and dwell among us is amazing when you think about it. And Romans 8 says that if we are Christians, we have the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. Again, it's even, it just seems like it's getting more and more incredible. But again, what do we believe and how is it that it impacts us? And by the way, I'm not standing up here yelling at anybody, but I'm even looking at my own life and I'm thinking, does, as big as this truth is it impacting me enough? And so I guess my prayer for all of us this morning is, God, help us to get it. And here he was, the Creator, standing on his specially designed planet Earth deigning to explain to a group of human creatures why he had organized the solar system that way. And then he says this, this is John Lennox's words, "I think we ought to listen, don't you? I think we ought to listen, don't you?" And again, think about our lives. Think about what we focus on and what we learn and what we read and all these different kind of things. And John says Jesus was the embodiment of the Word. And I think Pastor Brian was telling me this week, you know how many minutes a day you have to spend reading the Bible in order to read it in 1 year? Not that necessarily that is ultimately important, reading it in a year, but you know how many minutes a day you got to spend? 7,000 minutes a day. By the way, don't do the math. I don't even know if it's possible. 12 minutes. 12 minutes. Now, I get it. Reading the Bible can be difficult. Reading the Bible can be difficult for me. But I'm just putting that out there. If you read the Bible for 12 minutes, if you just decided to do this, I'm curious, is there anybody out here that eats every day? I do. Nicole, don't lie to me. But I do eat 12 minutes every day. I mean, that's a snack for me. But if Jesus is an embodiment of the Word, wouldn't we want to know about Him? Wouldn't we want to figure out how should this truth change my life? And we have the opportunity. It's just a little bit like I talked about Jesus coming back. When I was growing up, that was used as a fear tactic for me. Jesus is coming. If you're not ready, you're going to hell. Has anybody ever been surprised? Oh my goodness. Can you imagine that one ultimate surprise and you don't have any other options? You're either in or you're out. I tell you, Matt, man, preachers preach like that and tell me I could step out the door, it could be my time. That scares me. And so Jesus coming back was all about fear for me. But I'm thinking about, man, it's not about fear. I'm not saved because I'm living a perfect life. I'm saved because I believe Jesus is the Word. That He's always been. That He dwelt on this earth in human flesh. And I'm looking forward to Him coming back. Because this world can be a miserable place. Anyway, let's go on. There's still one more really good quote. Some of you were not fired up about that one as I was. Okay. So Jesus, here He is talking with His disciples. And then He says, just a little bit earlier in John. So this is still John recording these thoughts. But He says this, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming where no one can work. While I am in the world," again, here are Jesus' words, "I am the light of the world." I am the light of the world. Jesus is, of course, using the arrangement of earth's illumination as a powerful metaphor for something at another level entirely. He expected His disciples to deduce something simple yet profound from His observation about the sun. And here's what it is. And then it's kind of where we need to get this. If in the physical realm they were helplessly dependent on the light. Now it's hard for us to, because we flick the lights on, we can do whatever we want. But not so then. If in the physical realm they were helplessly dependent on the light situated outside of themselves, what about the intellectual, spiritual, and moral realms? Where was the source of their insights and answers? Inside or outside their own heads? So here's this grand truth that John is saying, Jesus is the Word. He's always been. Nothing that we see would be here without Him. Yet again, it's this struggle for all of us, and I get it. And even again, this idea of Christmas that we celebrate and we keep talking about, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yeah, He is. Yet we seem to minimize this truth in the way we live. We have God's Word to illuminate how we live, and yet we decide in our own minds, this is how I'm going to do it. It's a little bit like lying. Has anybody here lied? Don't raise your hand. Okay, we got at least one. But he's sitting in the back row. He figured nobody could see him. But appreciate, Brian, you participating. But anyway. But why do we lie? Not because we think we're going to get caught, it's going to be miserable, it's going to wreck our life. Because we think, man, I am in big trouble. And this may not be the best option, but it seems to be the best option for me, so I'm taking it. And so even for us, we have Jesus who came and dwelt among us in human flesh, which is it's almost impossible to comprehend. It is kind of for me. He says, I am the light of the world. If you want to know how to live, come to me. I will shine your light. We think, oh, that's great because I've got this much of my life and you will fit perfect in it. It's called my church life. When I'm there, I want you there. I want you to just fill that space. I want you to be in every corner of this little space. The rest of my life is my own. And again, I get how we do it. We don't do it like that, like intentionally, but it's just kind of how we do. But again, instead of me sitting here yelling at you like, oh, you shouldn't do that. It's like, why do we want to walk around in the darkness? Kay came in this morning. Kay has a hard time seeing. We didn't have the lights on out there. She walks out of the elevator. She said, where are the lights? I already can't see that well. Why does everybody have the lights off? And so it's the same for us. Jesus says, I am the light. And we say, well, God, that little space in my life, man, flood it with your light. But I'm going to figure out everything else on my own. I'm going to make my own moral decisions. I'm going to do this or do that however I want. This part, man, I want you to fill it. And again, I think if we had to do it intentionally like that, we wouldn't do it. Yet that is ultimately, I think, what we do. We say, oh, Jesus, light of the world. The area of my life is about church. I want you to just invade. When I go to church, I want to feel something. When I put some money in the offering, I want to feel something. I just want to know that you're real. But your light can be really inconvenient in other areas of my life. Because sometimes you're going to want me to do things I don't want to do. And sometimes you're going to want me to not do things I want to do. And so we ignore the light. And again, it's to our own detriment. In the physical realm, they were helplessly dependent on the light situated outside of themselves. What about the intellectual, spiritual, and moral realms? Where was the source of their insights? And the truth is, or the question is for us, where is the source of our insights and answers? Inside or outside our heads? And I'm going to finish with this. You're getting out of here early. Pastor Heather will be glad because she wants to go on a trip. But I want you to hear this for a minute. I want you to think about recapturing the wonder. Think about who you say Jesus is. Now, maybe you're trying to figure out who Jesus is. Maybe you're trying to figure out who Jesus is. But please be careful to say, I believe in the Word. I believe that nothing came to be that came to be without Jesus. Yet I'm going to stick him in the corner, farthest corner of my life and do what I please. One, it doesn't make sense. And I don't know if you could even do it. What other relationship can you do that with? Will you marry me? Hey, I got a great corner of my life that I want you in. Rest of my own. Don't trouble me. Don't bother me. I wouldn't want to marry that. And I think if we're going to have a relationship with God, God's saying, listen, I'm the light of the world. You can know how to walk. You can know how to live. You can know how to arrange your relationships. You can know how to treat people. Or you can do it on your own. And so often we do. But here is this incredible thing. is this Jesus who tabernacled among us said these words, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Now, I've been at the place in my life where I have been just trying to do it on my own. I've been just trying to use what's in my head to make my life work. And I guess it worked. I guess it worked. Like maybe your life is working. Yet Jesus is saying to us, "Come to me. I am the light of the world. I can help you to see unlike you're able to see on your own. You're looking for meaning. I can show you meaning. You're looking for this. I can show you this." You know what? One who flung the universe into space, I'll try it on my own. I got some different thoughts about relationships. I got some different thoughts about honesty and forgiveness and bitterness. I'm working my own plan. And again, then we hear the words of Jesus say this, like he did to Jerusalem that day when he walked up to it and he saw it. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to embrace you, but you weren't willing." And so even for us, he's like saying, "Listen, come to me, all who are weary. Come to me, all who are thinking, you know what, my life is not working out like I thought. Or I don't know, maybe my ladder is against the wrong wall." And Jesus is saying, "Hey, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'm the light of the world. If you want to really see, come to me." So I think, what an incredible invitation. I'm completely done. Praise team, I think I want to sing. Didn't we sing Light of the World? Okay. We're going to do this. If the praise team will come up. We are going to have a brunch following the service. We'd love it if you could stay. But you know, this is an interesting time. Carrie asked me how I plan on closing the service, and I didn't tell her like this. Maybe as we sing, maybe you want to come pray about something. I don't know. Let me pray for all of us as we think about this incredible truth. Heavenly Father, I've been around the church literally my whole life. And you opened my eyes in a way when I was 17 that I didn't even recognize or realize was possible. And it seems like from that day to this, you just keep opening up new vistas for me to see. And yet, Father, I unfortunately get this idea where not for me, not on purpose, but I lose the wonder. Somehow this incredible truth that I really do believe somehow becomes foggy and transparent and doesn't impact me. Sir, I got to come preach every week and I got to be a pastor every day. But Father, you know sometimes this incredible truth doesn't impact me the way I wish that it would. So Father, I've got a couple prayers this morning. One is that you would, for the person that is like me, they just love you. They believe in that Jesus really was the Word, that he's always been with you, that nothing was made that has been made without him, that he's the Word made flesh. We just believe it. Yet, Father, when we look at our lives, we realize that we're not walking necessarily in the light that you're providing, but we're walking in our own light. And we're not doing maybe, we think bad things, we're just doing our own things. We're just using our own illumination. And then, Father, I want to pray for somebody who just is, maybe they're to the place where they feel like, you know what, the way I'm doing life, it isn't working. I kind of think about God, acknowledge God, but just, I wish I had that illumination from the outside. Illumination that's true and not false. Illumination that I can trust and put my life into that and walk in that and know that it's the best for me. Father, I know there's got to be at least one. I'd be shocked if there wasn't more. But Father, I would pray that they would hear Jesus' words. And to know that this incredible story is really, I mean, we talk about it in church like it's not a big deal, but it's so huge and incredible and wondrous. But Father, I would pray that they would have faith to believe that they can reach out to Jesus, the living Word. And that they can answer His call to come to Him, all who are weary. To those who are needing strength, to those who are needing light, that You can come to them. And so, Father, I just would pray, even as we sing this song, maybe somebody wants to pray, maybe somebody just wants to reach out in faith right where they are and say, God, I want to come to You. I want to walk in Your light. I don't want to do it on my own anymore. Thank You that I don't have to. Father, may the powerful words of this song just really penetrate deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.